Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. When you hear the word CRISPR, you probably can see it right now. What do we think? We think about a place that you can put your lettuce, that you can put your vegetables right in your refrigerator. Well, actually, CRISPR-9 is a DNA modification kit that you can order being delivered to your own house. And according to Tom Horn, you can inject this stuff into your system and it will restructure how you're made, your DNA. No, it's not science fiction. It's reality. As a matter of fact, I want you to take a look right now. He just did a documentary. It's called Inhuman, I-N-Inhuman, and you're going to be shocked. Let's take a look.
So what I want to talk to you about is the coming technological singularity. I want to talk to you about transhumanism. I want to talk to you about the coming human enhancement revolution.
Today we have a very special guest, Tom Horn. We're going to talk about his book, Forbidden Gates.
They are being advised by some of the top think tanks in the world. If we weren't secretly, privately ahead of the human enhancement revolution, we would fall irreparably behind.
Well, what about the ethics of this? Will these people be considered humans? Will they be considered equal to us?
What I want to know is why you'd let a wacko like Tom Horn come on your program to discuss transhumanism anyway. This guy's point of view is so obviously skewed by his Bible-thumping background. How could anybody take this guy seriously?
Tom Horn is back in the news again at Wired Magazine, addressing the coming human enhancement revolution.
DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. It's one of the large departments of the U.S. They have set aside millions of dollars for rewriting the DNA of our soldiers.
I've often told people that Tom Horn is one of the more interesting theological interpreters of transhumanism in the country. Very smart guy, although I'm pretty sure he's crazy.
What is transhumanism? It is the idea that we are going to use technology now to create a new version of ourselves.
What the transhumanists have in mind is something very fundamental, the basic revision of human beings.
We might be creating humans that would be barely recognizable as the humans we see on the street today, and they'd be thought of as superior.
A technological singularity not only means a time when computers outsmart human cognition, it's a time when humans have an opportunity to employ the various technologies that will build these smart machines and add them to our own bodies.
It is extremely dangerous for someone to interconnect his nervous system with a machine that is relatively boundless in its limits.
There are technologies that are being employed now that most people think are 100 years away. They're not. They exist now.
It is a loss of ethics in the current sense. It is looking at human beings as fodder. We don't treat human beings as experiments.
You have the right to enhance your body, live longer, adjust your physical makeup and your performance, and those who do not want to enhance ought never to be coerced to enhance.
What will we become? In a few generations, where will mankind be? Will we really be human anymore?
When you think about that, Inhuman, it's happening as we speak right now. This whole program today is dedicated to trying to seek an understanding. What is this inhuman, this Nephilim-like reality? I mean, you think about the Nephilim in the Old Testament when he talks about the angels of God slept with the daughters of men. What you're doing at that point is mixing two DNA strands. Angelic strand was being mixed with man's strand of DNA. And then you're looking, that's taking place today. As a matter of fact, this book right here you're seeing by Tom Horn, he took 5 years to develop this. Oh, it's not a book, it's a documentary. It's a three-hour documentary called Inhuman. You can get it. We'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But take a look at this transhuman. When you say You have human, and then you say transhuman. You're looking at where they're actually taking things and injecting it into the human being, making them more or less than they were prior to that. As a matter of fact, take a look.
I'm not sure that the world is ready to receive this.
Tom Horn. Joe Artis. Donna Howell. And the Skywatch investigation team join a host of global experts in the conclusion of a multi-year undercover inquiry that exposes what the U.S. government, the FDA, and monster corporations have been hiding from you.
We're talking about everything from the food that we eat to animals and pet animals to ultimately humans. Literally, what we have been doing with genetically modified crops, what we have and are doing with transgenically made animals, we fully intend to do with the human race. I mean, how many people know right now that the last scientist in Congress, Bill Foster, recently spoke before Congress? He wrote an article for The Hill in which he says that right now the top science departments in our government that dole out taxpayer-funded revenue have already been ordered to literally create the guidelines that are going to be used for genetically modifying the human race.
You can get Inhuman, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch, and you'll see Inhuman, the documentary, and you can get it there. We get back from this break, we're going to break this down and begin to look at it, what's really taking place in today's we have a presidential budget approved budget for these particular items to take place in our military. It's amazing what's taking place. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
That ballot is your seed. That is the seed, if you sow it in faith, that guarantees your household safety, prosperity. Amen.
In 1943 America, Dennis Day was singing I'll Be Home for Christmas.
In Germany, 800 prisoners of the Third Reich were awaiting trial in a military prison. Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was among them, hoping to be released by Christmas. That didn't happen.
In December 1943, Bonhoeffer wrote a Christmas letter from his prison cell. He wrote that it could be easy to despair, but that this Christmas would be more meaningful to those in such a lonely and desolate place. He wrote that Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. A prisoner grasps this better than others.
After being moved from one prison and concentration camp to another, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed in April 1945.
Engage with the Bible in words of hope in perilous times.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Who would have ever thought that this would be what we would be talking about on VFNTV? You're always hoping that that's going to happen.
Later.
Not now.
Not now, but it is now. I mean, right. It is now.
When you think about how many people that are willing to change their bodies, I mean, people will eat almonds and stuff like that to be able to kind of look different.
But,
you know,
well,
what
that's
saying?
Minor. They cut, clip, and stuff.
I think the balanced diet is really important. A little bit of pasta, a little bit of potatoes, a little bit of meat, a little bit of gravy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I have unsweet tea.
That's working.
Have you ever sat behind somebody at a fast food restaurant, stood in line, and they say, you know, I want a big meal of this, big fry of
super
that,
super fry,
apple fry, super size. What
super
say.
Size.
Milkshake, and they go, and a Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke.
Go for it. You might as well just have the Coke.
Save the calories where you can. I mean, just save it where you can.
Well, talking about morphing our bodies, this transhuman thing is real. It is totally real. It's happening. The enemy really attacks a lot of people with their own identity.
Yeah.
That I'm not good enough, or I'm not strong enough, or I'm too skinny. Or I was just thinking this morning, years ago when I was young, you're thinking, you know, you used to wear your tag on the outside of your jeans that would say, you know, whatever your size was. And I noticed they don't do that anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it's years ago.
Yeah,
and you had the Levi tag that was hanging out. It was part of the thing, and the
the comb, the thing that Pat had with the mullet.
Oh, anyway, so, yeah, we have pictures of that.
Anyway, and so, you know, because your waist size is smaller, you want to get thicker or whatever. And then now, it's like, thank God that that size is not up there. Everybody see it's a 28. But, you know, when the enemy starts attacking you on how your body is, how your brain is functioning, and they say, you know what? Today, you can go down and get your DNA modified, and we can fix that for you. It's appointed once to die. There's one thing that we need to really come into agreement with God on is that it's appointed once to die, and then the judgment. So trying to prolong, based on history, the reason why Ponce de Leon discovered Florida was he was looking for the fountain of youth.
Yep.
I mean, everybody's always trying to look younger or try to be younger, trying to find that thing that kind of makes them last longer. Versus if you're a Christian, you know, God numbers our days. Everybody has their days numbered. It's numbered. The Word of God says your days are numbered. But to leave this life is to go into heaven where there's no sickness, no disease, no body fat. I mean, no. I mean, you think about that. I mean, it's no tears. It's perfect. I mean, if you haven't read 90 Minutes in Heaven by Don Piper, I mean, it is so encouraging. There's a lot of people that have had those kind of encounters. But heaven is so awesome that the sound of heaven is what he misses, the sound of heaven. So this stuff about trying to morph your bodies and do these different things, it's men trying to turn to men in their own strength instead of trying to turn to God. And you can turn to God, and God will defeat our enemies for us. But let's look. This is the transhuman. This is Tom Horn talking specifically about his 5 years that he brought experts around him to do this right now. I really like the fact that in this documentary that he brought in people that think contrary to him, people that are for this. So it's not some leaning type of conspiracy thing. These are people saying
science.
Yeah. So let's join Tom Horn now as he's talking about inhuman, the trans human beings, hybrid humans, I guess you would say.
Yeah, most definitely.
Or the Nephilim. Take a look.
Transhumanism. I had the opportunity to speak to a college course, advanced technology course at Eastern Illinois University several months ago. Students from all over the world whose degree was going to be in advanced global technology, emerging technologies. And of the 30 that I talked to, only two of them had even heard the term transhuman. What does the word mean? So we can have this conversation with our viewers. What does it mean?
Yeah, well, by the way, great to be here with Derek and Sharon Gilbert, two of my favorite people in the world, and to talk about this product, Inhuman. You know, this has been a 5-year product. How in the world I ever wound up involved in this is a story all by itself that they'll learn, I guess, when they watch the film, because I sure don't have no degrees in science, right? But I did. I wound up in this circle. Here I am, and people will go on that journey in the movie Inhuman, but they'll also find out why I reached out to Sharon, who has degrees in biology, and said, help!
Yeah.
You know?
And find out why my father said to me more than once, son, you married up.
Yeah, I've heard you say that a few times. I think you're right, too, Derek. We both did. But, and you started this program talking about this candidate for U.S. president, Zoltan.
Zoltan Ishvan.
And, you know, he emailed me while we were producing this film because he wanted to be part of the documentary, too. And we were too far into the interviews to be able to do that. But, yeah, the subject, transhumanism. Now, you said that, you know, what did you say, only two out of...
Out of 30 in this class, in a class called Global Technology. And this was a graduate-level course.
Yeah, knew what the term even stood for.
Right.
But we've learned that if you were to walk into a church and say, tell me what transhumanism is, it's just pretty much dumb silence.
Yeah.
And yet, the level of importance and the ways in which this philosophy as a replacement religious idea, but also its sense of how we're going to use technology in the future to change what God made.
Yeah.
All of creation is already either being altered genetically modified foods. Mm-hmm. You've done some shows already where you had Joe Artis and Donna Howell in here talking about how the GMOs are also a part of the food products that animals are eating. It's changing their DNA.
Yes.
It's rewriting creation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? But we also know that at the embryonic level, we're doing experiments with human-animal chimeras. Mm-hmm. Some of these scientists have hinted that some of their rogue friends are already raising these to full maturity. Mm-hmm. So this implies that there could even be islands of Dr. Moreau. And all the way, you know, the Academy of Medical Sciences out of Britain, so this is a prestigious body, mm-hmm. saying that literally thousands of animals containing human material are in laboratories now being tested. So the genie is out of the bottle. But the next step is what Zoltan is running for U.S. president, mm-hmm. to try to promote, and that is we also are going to start changing humankind. We're going to fix and repair. We're going to extend our lifespans. We're going to use technology, and the military is getting involved with this too.
Very much so, and this is nothing more than repackaged eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
If that's a familiar term to you, it's because something that Hitler did, but guess what? It started here in the United States, in Indiana, California, New York, Cold Spring Harbor, at Stanford, at IU. There were a lot of professors back at the turn of the 20th century who believed, scientists who were well-respected,
mm-hmm.
who believed that certain types of individuals were a drain on society, and in order to make mankind more robust, stronger, try to achieve that mm-hmm. godhood that was promised in Genesis by the Nakash, by the enemy of mankind, that ye shall be as gods. This was a dream that Hitler just borrowed from the United States.
Right, and the eugenics,
we're calling it transhumanism.
Yes, it's eugenics with a science fiction gloss.
Yeah.
It never really went away, but of course it got a bad reputation after what the Nazis did in the 1930s and 1940s. But today, in fact, Mr. Istvan, who's running for president on the Transhumanist Party ticket, has already published an article, which has been out on the internet for months now, calling for a restriction on breeding, human breeding.
Sure.
Because it is perceived by some in this movement that in order to guarantee the long-term survival of humanity, we need to eliminate the possibility of climate change, which they believe, or starvation, mm-hmm. global hunger or disease, which they believe is the result of too many people, and especially too many of the wrong kind mm-hmm. of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a scientist at the end of the 19th century in Great Britain called Malthus, and he believed
Malthus.
Exactly. He believed that if there were too many people on the planet, we would cease to exist as a species,
mm-hmm.
and therefore you had to control the numbers. Well, if you're going to control the numbers, let's make sure the numbers that survive are the ones we pick.
Sure, and of course that was right at the heart of the Nazi eugenic movement.
Yes.
But as you say, it was also born. Hitler actually learned an awful lot from what we were doing in the U.S.
Well, in fact,
in selective breeding and so on.
They, the Nazis took their program from a model. They modeled it on the program that was in place in the state of California.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was. I mean, we Americans can look back at the Hitler's Germany and, you know, with a sense of moral superiority. Well, we stopped Hitler. We inspired Hitler.
Right. That's right.
So let's get down off the high horse.
And here's another thing that's very interesting about this. It has kind of an occultic undertone to it.
Yes.
There was a natural progress in Nazi Germany to go from, we're going to selectively breed the Aryan super race, we're going to create the right kind of people, into another kind of occultism, which this program doesn't have enough time to go into all the bits and details of that, but the bottom line is, at the heart of it is Luciferian.
Yes.
It is an assault on God's creation. God made something, and God ordered that we're going to put barriers between the species, mm-hmm. and each kind's going to reproduce only after its own kind. And then even in our own fallen state, Jesus came to the earth as a man.
Yes.
He could have came as a demigod, an Ubermensch, mm-hmm. Superman. He came as a man to redeem fallen humanity. So God has a method that brings us to this point where the transhumanists want to take us to, right?
Yes.
Transcendence, a moment when we're going to go beyond this weak flesh that we live in now, and we're going to become something that is eternal, and we're going to have eternal life, mm-hmm. right? Ray Kurzweil was back in the news again this week, speaking as one of Google's executives. And mm-hmm. what was he saying? We're going to inject nanobots into our systems and into our brain, and we are going to become godlike. We're going yes. to get in touch with the divine, right? So there is an occultic aspect as well to what we're talking about here in yes. this assault on the genetics, on
very
creation.
Very much so. When we had Michael Heiser here just recently, he talked, and I think his programs are going to actually air after this, so hang in there. But he was discussing with us how essentially sex magic mm-hmm. was used during the ancient world to change your DNA. Mm. There's something metaphysical about DNA. Well, now we know there's something called epigenetics. Mm-hmm. And it's possible that there's a metagenetics that goes beyond wow. what we can measure in a laboratory that can actually make changes in your DNA. I know that things we eat, you talked about it with Donna Howell and Joe Artis about how things that animals are now eating, where they're eating GMO corn over and over and over and over again, that's starting to change the DNA in the animal. If you think that just because you haven't lined up for some kind of a shot at a clinic that you are exempt from this, it's too late. The genie is out of the bottle, and the things we're eating, the medicines we're taking, are changing us.
Well, and of course, again, the movie Inhuman, the documentary, you know, and the book Dead Pets Don't Lie. We can only do so many programs.
Yes. We only have so much time.
Yeah, we only got so much time, and so we're just kind of highlighting some of the major points around this. But the other point that I would want to make is to people viewing this program that are unfamiliar with these terms, especially people in most of the institutionalized aspects of the church, mm-hmm. they're not being taught anything about transhumanism. I had a prophecy preacher not long ago tell me, well, God will never allow this to happen. God would never allow them to do experiments where humans and animals are being blended in the laboratory. And I looked at him and said, this is happening now in thousands of laboratories. Mm-hmm. It's in our military budgets. It's yes. in DARPA's
absolutely.
Presidentially approved budget
and
this year.
There are prophecies in the Bible that talk about the mingling of seed.
Ah.
Their seed will mingle with human seed. Who are they?
Right.
Yes.
And in fact, I think the Hebrew word there is, it's zera or vera, uh-huh. I forget, but it actually means progeny. Mm-hmm. And it raises this astonishing idea, right,
mm-hmm.
that the devil can have progeny, can have mm-hmm. seed. What in
yes.
the world are we talking about?
Yes.
And yet, the further you get into transhumanism and the genetics revolution, and you realize that there is a point at which you could alter something that looks human, but its genetic makeup is not anything like what God breathed into and called something after his own image.
Right.
It's something entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that sounds like the Nephilim. That sounds like what the Watchers did.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out if the legends around that are true, which do seem to be supported by the Old Testament, they could not be redeemed. Therefore, they didn't have a human soul. They didn't have a redeemable aspect. So in every way, we're talking about some very, very dangerous science here, not just in the sense of how it might risk our health, but supernaturally, spiritually,
yes, exactly.
eternally. We're talking about something here that's outside the box.
Amazing. And he said, you know, Jesus said all along, you'll know them by their fruit. We're so easily just looking at folks and just say, they said they're a believer. They right. said they're a Christian. They said they were human.
That's happening a lot now.
They said they were a man. They said, you know, all these different things. It's yeah. like, but you really know folks by their fruit, by what comes out of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says that's the only way you're going to know. There's going to be many false folks. But you're talking about a way that those that are controlled by the evil one to produce an offspring that fulfills
demonic seed.
And it just goes to show you, we got to go to break, but it goes to show you that still Lucifer cannot take humans and they won't fully buy into his
plans,
schemes.
Yeah.
He has to actually
create
something or try to create something from what God has, morph it into something totally different. This is crazy. We're going to talk about what was the days of Noah like, because Jesus said very specifically when they asked him, you know, when will you return? He said, well, what will it be like when you return? He said it'll be like the days of Noah. And so we want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. We get back from the break.
We'll be right back.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
This hunger goes on and on and on, even with the search and the fulfillment of knowledge. And so when God created humanity, we see there is implicit worth in every human being. This is intrinsic value to every human being. Every man, woman, and child is of essential value, not given by fiat or not given by some benevolent constitution or taken away by some demagogue. It is of intrinsic value to human life. That is the implication of the Creator and the created. That you and I have essential worth, and you desacralize that worth and you step onto a slippery slope of devaluing everything in the process.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
What a program. This is not a future program. This is like a now. It's happening right this moment. You think about it. Jesus described the Son of God, who God sent to live as we live, to experience what we experience, yet without sin, so that he could die for our sins. So that we could actually be with him forever and be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. Well, this is what he said.
Mm.
And he said nothing unless the Father told him to say it. Like you heard the Father say it. And the question was, when are you coming back? Why? Because Jesus is coming back. That's the difference. Listen, Easter is about he's alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's going to come back. And the Father's going to say, come back. And he's going to take his church and everybody don't. Making the Lord their life, they're not going to go to a better place. That day is coming. And so the question they ask is, what will it be like when you come back? And this is what he said. It's in Matthew 24:37. Jesus said this. This is how society, culture, basically the world will be when judgment comes. He said it'll be this way when he comes back. It'll be as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. So you can look at Noah's day. And you see why God had to destroy everybody in the flood, because their DNA was all mixed up. They had all this angelic, demonic DNA going on mixed with human DNA. And we're creating the image and the likeness of God. And angels aren't created like we're created.
They don't have a soul.
They don't have a soul.
They can't be redeemed.
Listen, this is what the Word of God says in the Book of Revelation. It says, these days take wisdom. God's full of it. All you do is ask for that wisdom. Let's just pray right now. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for letting us know what's going on. I thank you, Lord, that you live inside of us, God, that you are truth and you lead us into all truth. And I pray right now for our audience, God, that you would encourage them, Lord, as these days grow closer. You said, look up. In these days, things happen because our redemption is near, that your coming is near, Lord God. And I just pray for each and every one that doesn't know you, that they would make you the Lord of their life, Lord God. And those that are, Lord God, that they would begin to be the light that you called us to be, Lord, in these dark days, Father God, that your light would shine, that people would bring glory to your name. And God, we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion. You would end this mutating of the human being. That you would send revival. That you would send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.